Chapter 3. It was sunset in Caterlot, the queen of equestrian cities and the divine court of Celestia, the princess of the sun. Rich saffron light glinted off towering alabaster columns and brass domes and swept down like a song of gladness into the streets below, where the blessed inhabitants of the royal city, manes beautifully coiffed and coats groomed to perfection, went about their evening affairs. Every pony was dressed in rare fabrics and shining jewels, and as they wandered through the dusk, wrapped in deep cobalt shadows and flashing in golden brilliance when they happened to step into one of the long, low, slanting bolts of sunlight, they talked to one another in refined Canterlot accents, speaking, no doubt, of noble matters far removed from the everyday chatter and gossip of Ponyville. Bonbon stood in the door of the railway coach, fidgeting in the unaccustomed tightness of her dress and peering out from beneath an enormous wide-brimmed hat. It was the finest and most elegant hat available in Ponyville, as though she had been assured by Miss Rarity at Carousel Boutique when, in a moment of extravagance she had chided herself for later, she bought it several months before. But Bonbon couldn't help wishing that it had been a little bigger and finer. She always felt underdressed in Canterlot. She had hoped that the City of Cities would cow her a bit less this time, but to her chagrin she discovered that she felt just as self-conscious when attempting to save Equestria from a horrific fate as she did when accompanying Lyra into town for one of her orchestra auditions. She bit her lip and, hoping desperately that the elaborate curls in her manes at least vaguely resembled this year's style, stepped out of the coach and onto the deep green marble flagstones of Canterlot. Slightly to her surprise, no pony paused to gawk and whisper at her. Now then, what was the first order of business? A list. She knew she had brought a list with her. Bonbon undid the lyre clasp of the saddlebag across her back. Her own saddlebag had still not emerged from whatever lair in which it had hidden itself, so she had to borrow Lyra's again. And after rummaging around a bit, extracted a rumpled sheet of paper. She propped this up against a sunlit wall, smoothing it out with her hooves, and read, 1. Sandpaper, coarse grade. 2. Lapis lazuli paint, indoor use. 3. Lyre strings, package of 8. 4. Marshmallow. May not be able to find, if more than 5 bits per bundle, pass. 5. Warn captain of guard of imminent changeling invasion, thus saving all of Equestria from certain doom. 6. Powdered sugar. 7. Almonds. Bonbon nodded to herself, proud that even in this crisis she had the presence of mind to organize herself properly. She would have completely forgotten about the almonds otherwise. The lanterns of Canterlot had been lit, and Bonbon, wearier and bearing a heavier saddlebag, stood at a street crossing peering up at the gloaming at a sign overhead and trying to decide whether it said Trotsworth Avenue or Trotswood Avenue. She had gathered sandpaper, coarse grade, and paint. She had found a package of lyre strings for bargain price, and although no marshmallow had been available, the shopkeeper at Canterlot Nurseries had assured her that they would be getting a shipment in 2 weeks. She had picked up a packet of sugar and a bag of sweet almonds and found some food dye to boot. She had also, finally, run out of things to do before dealing with the intimidating item number 5 on her list. Well, best to get it over with. Bonbon sighed, decided that the sign did indeed say Trotsworth Avenue, and turned to her left, glancing up at the houses lining the lane as she trotted along. They reminded her of the grand homes of the wealthier Ponyville set, but for the fact that their ostentation was much less aggressive. The ponies living here didn't need to prove their superiority. It was a self-evident fact, and if their walls were inlaid with beautifully carved wooden arabesques and their doors great arched affairs gleaming with brass fittings, it was because such decorations were only right and proper, not because their residents were trying to prove anything. They didn't need to prove anything. Bonbon moved on. This was hardly the time or place for such thoughts. There were far more urgent things to attend to. Number 23, number 25, number 27. Ah, here it was. She came to a halt in front of an elegant home, distinguished from the others along the lane by a stylized shield and starburst suspended above the front door. The mark of shining armor, captain of the guard. Standing at attention on either side of the double doors were 2 Pegasi guards. There was something slightly off about them. Their ears seemed oddly tufted, and there was a strange leathery quality to the wings clasped at their sides. For a horror-filled moment, Bonbon thought they were she, and that the changeling queen had already set her plans into motion before she recollected seeing similar creatures at that disastrous nightmare night party last autumn. Of course, they were bat guards, the retainers of Princess Luna. Odd that they should be in Canterlot, but then again, it probably made more sense to use them as night guards than it did to use normal Pegasi, even if it meant shifting them away from wherever it was that Princess Luna was living now. Rumor said the Everfree Forest, but Bonbon didn't quite believe that. Natives of the Everfree or not, they looked distressingly alert, and Bonbon strongly suspected that they wouldn't willingly let any random pony off the street into the house. There was probably some more official venue for contacting Captain Shining Armor, but not at this hour, and time was of the essence. Bonbon trotted past the home, trying to look as casual as possible, and after she was reasonably sure that they were no longer paying close attention to her, she dodged to her right into a small fenced park, grass gleaming in the moonlight and curtains of shadow hanging from the trees. No pony seemed to be here. Perfect. Bon Bon removed her saddlebag, doffed her hat, worked her way out of her dress, and then hid everything under what seemed like a reasonably dry bush. No sense in spoiling a perfectly good outfit. After one last furtive glance about to make sure she was really unobserved, Bon Bon closed her eyes and concentrated. Tongues of cold green flame flickered about her hooves, sending tiny, writhing tendrils snaking up her legs and around her torso. The fiery threads paused, hissing and sputtering against her flanks, then blazed forth, enveloping her in an emerald inferno that tore through the air for a fraction of a second before disappearing as suddenly as it had arisen. A pony that did not look at all like Bon Bon rose unsteadily to her, his, feet. It had been a long time since she had tried that, and assuming a new form was a lot more taxing than reverting to an old one. She wasn't working with anything like the power she had had in the old days, either. Well, it ought to be good enough. She trotted out of the park, stumbling a little in her new body with its unfamiliar proportions, and made her way back to Captain Shining Armor's home. As she approached, the bat guard snapped to attention. Good. She had been a bit worried about her ability to perfectly mimic the good captain, as she only had a vague idea of what he looked like, but evidently any slight inaccuracies in the white coat, striped-blue mane, and stallion's body that she had adopted were being glossed over in the guards' minds by the mind-numbing aura projected by Alshi, their glamour. She nodded to them perfunctorily, and trotted up the stairs and through the tall double doors, which she immediately closed. After checking to make certain that no pony was present, Bon Bon flamed her way out of the captain's form and into the shape of a pink-maned unicorn mare. No pony she knew, just a passerby she had seen earlier in the day, who looked like she would be fairly simple to mimic. If this little expedition was successful, Queen Chrysalis, the entire unsealed court, as a matter of fact, would be extremely unhappy, and Bon Bon did not want them to figure out whom to be unhappy at. Probably best, in fact, to try to make it seem as if it hadn't even been a changeling who had raised the alarm. Bon Bon trotted across the room, a rather ostentatious room to Bon Bon's mind with its high ceiling and pennant-decorated walls, although by Canterlot's standards it was quite subdued, to a sturdy oak door through which she could hear muted voices. Raising her hoof, she gave the wooden panels a timid rap. The murmured conversation in the room ceased, and then she heard hoofsteps approaching the door. It swung open to reveal an extremely book-infested room, a puzzled captain shining armor, and one other pony, who glanced up at Bon Bon for a moment, then returned her attention to the parchment in front of her, suspended in the air in a web of indigo magic. Her dark wings were clasped against her flanks, and her mane drifted aimlessly through the still air, a deep blue veil studded with flickering points of light that appeared oddly distant. She wore a black tiara. Bon Bon realized belatedly that the back guards at the entrance to the captain's home were not, in fact, standard-issue night watch ponies. Evidently, Princess Luna had come to consult the captain on some point of security, which would have been ideal if she hadn't been Princess Luna, and therefore doubly terrifying in that she was A, an alicorn, and B, questionably stable at best. Bon Bon was going over possible responses to this new development and had almost decided that laughing hysterically and bolting would be the best option when the captain spoke. "It's Twinkleshine, isn't it?" "Yes, Twinkleshine, that's it. Cadence's friend. What are you doing here? Why did the guards let you pass?" "Oh, Celestia, he knows her. And she's named Twinkleshine. Aldrovandra would have a field day with that." Hysterical laughter and a mad dash to safety were looking more and more appealing every second. But this might be the only chance she got, and she and Lyra would never be safe otherwise. This had to be done. This had gone so much more smoothly in her head. "Apparently, yes, it's Twinkleshine." "Apparently?" Behind the captain, Princess Luna raised her head from the parchment and stared at Bon Bon. It did not improve the, temporarily, pink-maned unicorn's composure. "What I mean to say is, concealment. If he knows I'm a changeling, the queen might find out that it was a changeling who betrayed her, and that puts me as the prime suspect. This is Twinkleshine's body. She's safe, by the way, no harm done. It's reversible, but not her mind. I'm a spirit possessing her, out of the very best motives. Shining Armor blinked and rubbed his forehead with his hoof as he muttered something which sounded suspiciously like, "It had to be the salt addict." In a louder tone, he continued, "That's very nice. Don't you think you'd better be getting back home, though? I'm sure even spirits need rest." He turned to Princess Luna, whose eyebrows were currently raised so far that they seemed to be in danger of drifting off her face entirely. "I'm sorry you had to see this, Your Highness. She's a good pony, and she and my fiancée have been friends for ages, but she does have this weakness. Do you think that one of your retinue might be spared to escort her home? Right now, she's not exactly capable." She really should have opted for the laugh hysterically and run option. "No, wait!" Bon Bon tried to force her way past Shining Armor into the study, rearing up in an attempt to squeeze past. "It's not, I'm not, I'm telling the truth. I came here to warn you. The Unseelie Court is planning an attack. You have to believe me. I...
Whoa, steady now. The captain gently forced Bon Bon down to her hooves again. Easy, Twinkleshine. He looked over his shoulder at Princess Luna. On second thought, maybe it'd be best if I got her back home. With your leave, of course.
Nay, Captain, let her come in.
The princess placed her parchment on a desk already heaped high with papers and directed a searching stare at Bon Bon. Shining Armor glanced at Bon Bon as well, then shrugged and stepped to one side. The princess stepped forward.
Didst thou say Unseelie?
Bon Bon nodded. Luna continued to stare at Bon Bon, evidently not quite certain what to make of her, then turned to Shining Armor.
A question, Captain. Is that a common word these days? Do the ponies still speak of the Fae?
Shining Armor shrugged. I've never heard of it before. Is it important?
It was, upon a time.
The princess looked back at Bon Bon.
Tell me, little one who would call herself a spirit, what do you know of the Fae?
We call ourselves the She, actually,
murmured Bon Bon, and then tacked a hurried, Your Highness, to the end of the sentence. She was honestly quite impressed. The princess hadn't started shouting or banning national holidays or anything. Maybe she'd mellowed out since last autumn.
Aye, that was the old word.
The princess pursed her lips and then turned her back on Bon Bon, looking up at the tattered covers and creased spines of the many books lining the study walls.
Are you familiar, spirit, with the circumstances surrounding my recent return to this land?
Yes, Your Highness.
You know what she's talking about, princess? Said Shining Armor.
Then you are aware that when I last knew this land for what it really was, when I felt the rhythm of its songs and the thrum of its life, it was 1,000 years younger than it is today. I am a creature out of time, spirit, and I'm not yet canny to the ways of this new world. But one thing I do know, even 1,000 years ago, the Unseelie Court was little more than a legend, a faint, fading power that sometimes made itself known in small mischiefs and spites, but never anything greater. The court danced its mad dances in caves and grottos hidden from both my moon and my sister's sun, and ever they dwindled.
She frowned.
You are not Salt Addled. Your voice is unsteady, but it is not the unsteadiness of a sot. You are afraid, I believe. And here ye be, speaking of the Unseelie Court and the She. The She! Even 1,000 years ago, a precious few ponies knew that word. It comes from their tongue. As if it were yet the untangling days, and the court still vied for power with my sister and me.
The princess considered for a moment.
Well, there is a way to test part of your tale at least. Captain, you are shod with iron horseshoes. If you had pressed one of your hooves against...
No!
Bon Bon leapt back, hooves clattering against flagstones.
That you have no idea what it's like, how painful it is. Is any pony going to tell me what's going on?
Said Shining Armor.
Some token of your truthfulness is needed, spirit. And if you are truly possessing this pony, and this is not merely some mad prank, iron will tell.
Bon Bon shuddered.
Something smaller, then?
She looked vaguely around the room, noticing a nail protruding from the wall, and raised a hoof to it, wincing as the metals touched her pastern. There was a hissing sound, and the faint but distinct scent of burning hair. She held it there for perhaps a second, then lifted it up again, turning her hoof so that Luna could see the shiny red welt on her skin. The princess drew a long, low, hissing breath.
Fae, indeed.
Shining Armor blinked.
Princess, what's...
Wickedness, Captain. It remains to be seen what manner of wickedness.
The star-maned Alicorn dropped to her haunches, bringing her eyes level with Bon Bon's.
You said you came to warn us.
Of what?
Finally, things were getting somewhere.
An attack. An invasion, in fact. One of the queens of the Unseelie Court is planning an assault on Equestria.
Luna shook her head irritably.
This much you had already said. I mean the details, spirit. Which of the queens? What is the manner in which they will attack? How do they hope to prevent my sister and me from defending our subjects?
Bon Bon hesitated. It would be better, probably, to warn the princess that Queen Chrysalis was the force behind the attack, but every extra detail she gave out was another link in the chain connecting this treachery to her. In any case, most of the beings in the Unseelie Court were shapeshifters of one kind or another. The changelings were just the best at it. The princesses would be expecting disguises.
I don't really know. I'm not exactly popular at the court. In fact, I wasn't even supposed to know about this. All I know is that an invasion is planned, and all that I can guess is that the first target will be Canterlot. If your highnesses are put out of the way before you have a chance to organize a defense, taking the rest of Equestria will be easy.
Indeed. Holding it, however, might not be quite so easy.
For the briefest of moments, a grim smile flickered across Luna's face, and then she was serious again.
But what will be small comfort for those harmed by the invasion itself, no matter how unsuccessful it may be in the long term? Your place in this I do not quite understand, though.
Why do you warn us? Have you not more to gain by keeping silent, even if you are not in the court's good graces?
Oh, the court and I have never gotten along. We disagree about a lot, and I don't really want to get back into his good graces. I'd prefer for it to forget I ever existed, to be honest.
Luna raised an eyebrow.
Granted treachery against the court is not likely to make it forget you. Is there not something else?
No, well, yes, there... Bonbon bit her lip. I'm sorry, I can't tell you.
So be it.
Luna raised herself to her hooves again and spoke to the bewildered captain of the guard.
Captain, let it be known that we do not doubt this creature's word. I will apprise my sister of this news, and then we must meet on the morrow to discuss what is to be done. And there is a great deal that must be done.
She turned to Bonbon.
I thank thee, pardon, you, for warning us so. If half of what I recall of the court is still true, it was a brave act. If you wish, we can offer you sanctuary here, spirit. You will need to free poor Twinkleshine from your control, of course, but you will be kept safe from the court, I swear it.
Bonbon bowed.
No, that's all right, your highness. I really can't. Thank you, though.
Very well, Luna smiled. If you have spoken truly and we overcome this threat, I should like to meet you again. I do not know what your kind values, and in your case perhaps even that knowledge would not be very helpful, but if there is aught we can do to honor you, let us know.
There didn't seem to be much of an answer to this other than an embarrassed thank you. Bonbon bowed again, then edged back out of the study. Nervousness aside, that had gone about as well as expected. Better than expected, actually, considering how very sane the princess had been. Perhaps she had misjudged her. Bonbon trotted past the bat guards at the front door, who made no remark. They had probably arrived with Princess Luna in any case. For all they knew, Twinkleshine had already been inside at the time, and headed back to the little park where she had stashed her clothes and the results of her shopping trip. After a careful glance around to make sure that no pony was watching, she sent another gout of heatless green flame coiling around her body, and then she was Bonbon again. He stretched, feeling the old familiar skin grow taut over the muscles and bones she had grown so comfortable in during all her years in Ponyville.
Yes, things felt safe again. They felt right again. Bonbon worked her way back into her outfit, donned her hat and saddlebag, and headed out of the park turned left, trotting back along the lane that ran past Shining Armor's home. She had gone scouting for inns earlier in the day, and found a very nice one a few blocks down from the captain's home. It was pricey as all get out, of course, but this was Canterlot. Everything was a bit more expensive than they had any right to be. As she made her way down the lamplit street, she noticed another pony coming up the opposite way. The stranger was an exquisite unicorn, slender and graceful, with a swirling multi-hued mane and long, elegant limbs, and Bonbon stopped for a moment to look at her. She was just telling herself that the unicorn was pretty enough in the shallow Canterlot way, but not a patch on Lyra, and almost believing it, the unicorn was really very beautiful, when the stranger, glancing up, noticed the attention she had attracted. She froze for a fraction of a second, whipped her gaze a little ahead and to her left towards the two backyards on either side of the captain of the guard's door, and then snapped her attention back to Bonbon, who was still not quite level with the house. Great rose-hued wings snapped up from her sides, unfolding with whip-crack suddenness. Wings? Sun and moon. No wonder she was so beautiful. She wasn't just a unicorn with an alicorn-esque figure. She was an alicorn, kin to the princesses themselves. The stranger launched herself up, wings thrashing the chill night air as she plunged across the 40 feet that separated herself and Bonbon. Splintered fragments of stone shot up as her brass-shod hooves smashed against the pavement in front of the startled earth pony, who tried to leap back but only managed a sort of tangled stumble, sending her flailing onto her back. The alicorn stared sternly down at her for a moment and then hissed,
"Your eyes!"
Your Highness, what? The alicorn bent down face to face with Bonbon and repeated,
"Your eyes, you fool! They're blue! Change them quick!"
As she spoke, a green fire flared and died in her own eyes. For the briefest of moments, they looked far less like the soft, wide eyes of an alicorn than they did the cat's eyes, livid green and slit from top to bottom with a thin, sharp-tipped pupil.
"Oh, no. Oh, Celestia, no!"
Bonbon stammered.
"Yes, my queen."
And a flickering sheen of chartreuse fire flashed across her face, replacing the crystalline changeling eyes she had accidentally adopted when shifting back to her normal form with the pale blue pony eyes she had worn for years.
"Careless wretch, you could have ruined everything!"
The false alicorn planted a hoof firmly on Bonbon's chest, pinning her against the rough granite flagstones.
"There are far too few of us in the city yet. I will not tolerate mistakes. Do you understand, worm?"
"Yes, yes, my queen. Forgive me."
The queen sneered. "Certainly not. For now, though, your queen still has need of you. After the invasion is complete, then perhaps we can talk of forgiveness. Or perhaps not." She lifted her foreleg, and Bonbon scrambled back to her hooves.
"I'll decide in my own time. Now get out of my sight and try to be at least vaguely competent." Yes, my queen. Thank you, my queen. Bonbon bowed hurriedly and darted back the way she had come. Looking over his shoulder, she saw the false Alicorn trot to the home of Shining Armor, nodding to the bat guards as she walked up the steps. Lost. Everything, absolutely everything, was lost. Queen Chrysalis is already inside the city, impersonating an Alicorn of all beings, and any protection that was put in place would be too little and too weak to stop the storm that she would soon unleash on Canterlot, especially since she apparently had the ear of the captain of the guard, and would obviously be in Princess Celestia and Princess Luna's confidence as well. Bonbon's warning had come too late. There was no hope left for Equestria. The court would take it all for itself, and the Shi would rule unchallenged once again, just as they had in the ancient past. Stone circles on every mountain peak, mistletoe and blood, dolmens and barrows. The old altars would break forth from the depths of bogs and flint-strewn fields, standing stark and tall in the untamed light of the madly dancing sun and moon, and struggling ponies bound in thorns and daubed with woe to be dragged forth yet again, one after another to be lashed to the stone slabs. Obsidian knives and gaunt black ravens glutting themselves on horrors. Bonbon galloped on through the midnight streets of Canterlot. Mud splattered on the hem of her dress and her hat tumbled off her head. But what did that matter? The entire world was crumbling. She swerved back into the little park, tore off her dress and tossed her saddlebag to the verge. None of that mattered anymore. She had to get Lyra away from all this. The court would be utterly merciless when it discovered what had happened, and the only way that she could possibly keep Lyra safe was to get her as far away from Ponyville and Equestria as could be managed. They would have to give up everything, abandon everything they had worked so hard to create. Their beautiful, tidy, happy little house, Lyra's strange, brilliant contraptions, Bonbon's lovely little window boxes with the flowers and herbs she had poured so many hours into maintaining, her baking, Lyra's hopes for making it into the Canterlot Symphony. All of it was gone. Chartreuse fire flashed up from her hooves and slithered around her body, burning away her earth pony form to reveal the glossy black exoskeleton, insect-like wings, and corroded, misshapen hooves of a changeling. There was no time left for inns or train tickets. They'd all be worthless soon enough, anyway. Bonbon whirred her membranous wings experimentally and launched herself up into the dark, star-studded sky, bound for Ponyville. Right now, all that mattered was speed.